time. I know a lot of things about a lot of them, amen? And yet I love every one of them, Brother Jerry. I love all of them, and it's what a privilege it is. What a privilege it is to be a missionary. I'm a missionary. I've surrendered to every missionary on the world, on the planet, in my lifetime. I said, God, there's been some Sundays I wanted to be somewhere else on the planet, amen? A few times I walked in my office and said, I wish I could be with Stanley in Indonesia today, but I'm in Beaufort, Georgia, and that's where God has called me, amen? But I'll tell you, we have a mission, and it has not changed one bit. The mission that Christ gave to us, amen, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'll begin there. I've got to get with it, actually, because my daughter-in-law is preparing the meal, and she said, if I'm not done at 12 o'clock, I'll never get to see my two granddaughters again. No, she didn't really say that, but I will. I did see it in her eye, though, okay? Don't you hold those people back. I remember I was preaching out in Buffalo, Wyoming, and in the morning service like this, and I was the last of four different preachers preaching. And all those guys, I mean, they hammered down that day. It was wonderful. And I looked up, my time came, it was 15 to 12. And Brother Wesley had just gotten a whole load of fried chicken and all that stuff, and you could smell it all the way from the fellowship hall in the church. And I said, I'm standing here between three preachers and fried chicken. I don't have a chance this morning. And that's kind of the way I feel today. So I hope that what I'll give to you this morning will be a blessing and help. Chapter 24, verse number 39. Verse number 38, let's start there. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me. And see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding. Amen. That's good, isn't it? That they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sin, amen, I like that, don't you? The repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I sent the promise of my Father unto you. But tarry ye here in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. I want to speak to you just a moment on continuing the message of missions. Let's pray together. Father, I am thankful today for this opportunity. And I am also unworthy. And I am not able, oh God, I'll have to admit it this morning. And so I need the Spirit of God today. And Lord, I want to help these folks. I don't have anything good to say to them except the Spirit of God come and help me. And so help me today, Lord, that I might in some way encourage and help them. Lord, to prod them on if they're new today, that I might give them something that they'll remember later. And Lord, if they've been at it a long, long time, that I'd give them something to move them on ahead, God, for your glory. And Lord, I bless your name for how you've given us the word of God to preach and given us the calling from on high. And now, Lord, I pray that you'd perform it in us, and we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I see that Christ came to his disciples there after he had risen from the grave. Amen. And he came to them, and I'm glad that Jesus didn't just call his disciples and then down the cross and come out of the grave and go straight back to heaven. No, he came back to them, and he said, I've got something to give to you. He didn't tell them, hey, I want to just sit. You go out and do, tell people about me and go at it the best way you know how and just have at it. I'm gone to heaven. Jesus didn't say that, did he? No, he came to them. He came back to them on purpose to give them something that they were to carry to the world. And that is the message of the gospel. Right? Amen? I see in that scripture there, he said this in verse number 44. He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you. I see the source of our message that we're to carry to the world. That source is Jesus himself. The gospel and the word of God is inspired by God. Amen. Do you believe that today? I have a message from God to the world. It's not a message from Tim Campbell. It's not a message from the society. It's not a message that I got out of a library somewhere studying the great classics or the books of philosophy or history. It's a message that God himself spoke, and he wants the whole world to hear it today. It's inspired of God. All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I have an inspired message from God. When I stand up on Sunday morning, I have nothing. I'm not even a good preacher, but I'll tell you this, I've got a great message today. It's the message God sent me. It's the message Jesus spoke. Amen. It's inspired. It's illuminated. You all know already, I'm not very smart. You know that. I'm ugly, as Brother Graham said. I'm glad I'm not the last preacher, though. Amen. Amen. Me and Brother Hamby, we were blessed with more faith than anybody else. Right, Brother Hamby? Amen. I'm glad we have the scriptures and they're illuminated. Right? Amen? This book is not just another book. This is God's Word. And the Spirit of God that lives in my heart teaches me and preaches to me the Word of God. What I'm preaching to you today, he's already preached to me. You believe that? I believe any person can understand the Word of God. I mean, a lost sinner can pick up the Bible and begin to read, like that brother mentioned about that tract. They can begin to read the gospel message, and the Spirit of God will bring conviction on their soul about their sin, and they can see how they need Jesus and call on his name and be saved, amen, by the Word of God. Amen. If that can happen, all of us can be proclaimers of the Word again with success. We see there that illumination. And a lot of times, I don't know about you men, but I stand sometimes on Sunday morning to preach. And I've studied like all week long and labored hard and come to Saturday night and think, Lord, I still hadn't got it. I've done that a few times and God said, I'm glad you hadn't got it because I have. And I'll get up on Sunday morning not confident in anything I'm going to say, kind of like I do today, you know, and the Spirit of God take over my soul and arrest my mind and heart and use my lips and preach, and God would work in a great way. Amen. See, we have illumination. We also have illustration. Illustration of the message. What is it? You look at verse 39 and you see Jesus told his disciples, he said, I want you to behold. Behold my hands. And my feet. Behold my side. I am he. Right? Amen. I have a message of a real living Savior who died on the cross for the sins of the world. I've used this little illustration a lot, but I remember Brother Stanley Ewing in Indonesia. He told me he'd ridden with a cab driver time and time again, Brother James. You may know the guy. He said, I rode with this Muslim guy time and time again. I tried to witness to him. I couldn't get through to him. He said, but one day I decided when I got out, I just said to him, listen, I want to tell you something today. Jesus loves you. He said immediately tears came in that man's eyes, and he got it that day. Right? Amen? Illustration of the message is Jesus. Illustration is behold his hands and his feet and his side. I believe if we can get people to see Jesus, it'll make the difference in their life, don't you? Amen. No matter where it is in this world. I remember I was a lost sinner, but I was a lost church member. 19 years old, going to Bible college, and I was standing up in the balcony of that place at Highland Park Baptist Church. A preacher was preaching, but I was not seeing the preacher. I was seeing my lost condition as a church member. The Spirit of God worked in my soul and said, you're not saved, Tim Campbell. You put on a good show. You have a good outward look. You can say everything right. You've learned it all real good, but you are not saved. You've never had a time in your life where you asked Christ to forgive your sins and save you. And you need to be saved tonight. This may be your last chance. I can remember gripping the back of that pew that night. And I said, man, I've got to deal with this. I went down the aisle. You know who met me there? One of my teachers met me there, but Jesus did. He said, behold my hands and my side and my feet. Right? Behold what I did for you. I'll save you from your sin. We have a message. We have a source of that message. That message has substance to it. Look with me down at verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached. Is that substance enough? Amen. To preach that you can be saved. A message this world needs to hear. All the world around us is dealing with sin. Right? Amen. Sin is our problem, but we have a message of substance. The people at Charlottesville that are rioting and all that, they don't have any substance. You know something? Those people don't believe anything. They're without hope. All these things that they're doing over there is not going to take them to heaven. It's not going to settle in their heart their greatest need. They're never going to find any satisfaction. Even if they get their way, they won't. But I have a message of substance. And when I preach, it means something. It carries weight with it. It carries the weight of all eternity. It has to do with what my life is now and what it will be forever. A message. Brother Cottle mentioned I taught school, and I can remember standing there before my classes the first day of school every year. I would stand before a group of students in my own class, and I would stop them, and I would read from the Bible. At our school, we read from the Bible every day. They're taught every day. They do prayer requests and pray every morning. We're taught every subject from the Word of God. Amen? Right? That's the way school ought to be. But I looked at them and I said, listen, I'm a teacher here, and I love all you boys and girls. You may not love me all year. You probably won't. There may be some times you'll love me and sometimes you won't love me. But I'll tell you one thing, there's one thing we've got to settle before this year's up, that you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Whether they were fifth graders or seventh graders or ninth graders, I would stand them up and I would say, listen to me, I want to know whether you're saved or not. And boy, by girl, all year long I'd work with them in their hearts and minds. And many times I had the opportunity to get on my knees with a young little fella or a young girl and pray with them and see them receive Christ as their Savior and get the greatest substance they could have in a lifetime in Jesus Christ. Amen. That was more important than math and science, social studies, history, any of the English, isn't that good? English and anything like that. Math, brother, more important than that. To know where they're going when they die. Amen. Our message has substance. Our message says significant. It's significant. He said that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. Thought about that. Is that significant? Is it? I thought about Moses when he was contemplating doing what God said. Right? What did God tell him to do? I want you to go to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And what did Moses say? He said, who am I going to tell them that sent me? They're not going to believe me. What am I to say to them? And God said, tell them, I am, has sent me unto you. When David stood out there and faced Goliath, he said, I don't come to you with a sword and a spear and a shield with a tank or a bazooka today. I come to you in the name of the Lord. Amen. The name of the Lord. That's right. There's significance in this world. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's significant. And our message has scope. Jesus told these disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He told these people here, beginning at Jerusalem, go into all the uttermost parts of the world and take this message, amen? Take this message to Brazil. Take this message to Cuba. Take this message to India. Take this message to Indonesia. I'll tell you, the message works, amen? The gospel works, preacher. It does. You can't tell me it doesn't work. I went to Indonesia and visited and sat with believers where Brother Hansard and his dear wife labored and served God. And I heard firsthand it works. I sat there with about three or four churches gathered together in Brother Stanley's house, and we had a little service there the night before we flew home. And I heard testimony after testimony. One man stood up and he said, I want to thank the Lord for Matt Cutmore, that's my pastor, who had a vision for missions and sent a missionary here. James Hansard. Because James Hansard's here, I received Christ as my Savior. Amen. My life has never been the same. Amen. Story after story. Man, I'll tell you what, it's got scope. It'll reach anywhere, right? It'll reach anybody. It'll reach whosoever will. It'll reach the four. Sometimes I think we don't believe that, but I'll tell you, our message has scope to it. Right? He gave it to those disciples, and I'll tell you, they probably thought, man, how are we going to do this, brother? God has given to us, Christ himself has said, go into all the world. We don't know where the world is. They didn't have a clue, did they? But he said, tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power. He said, I'm going to give you success. This message has success attached to it, right? He said, till you be endued with power. The Spirit of God came and worked in their lives and made all the difference. I'll finish with this little thought. I thought about Peter, you know, after the day of Pentecost. You know, Peter's a pretty rough character, right? He's just a common old fisherman. I identify with him a lot. I'm just a common person, right? I'm no better than anybody else. I don't believe that. And Peter had denied Jesus. Terrible, right? Oh, my. After he saw Christ, after he came from the grave, he said, I'm a sinner. That's what he called himself. And he heard what Christ wanted him to do, the care of the gospel. And I believe in Peter's mind, he was thinking, impossible. Even though he believed in Christ, he trusted him. And they went to that upper room and waited till the Spirit of God came in. And that mighty rushing wind came over them. The Spirit of God came and baptized every one of them and dwelt them and then filled them for his service. Old Peter walked out of that place that day for the first time and stood out on the street. I don't know where he stood. I know he just preached, right? After that time. And I believe there may have been people on the sideline saying, hey, isn't that old fisherman that followed that Jesus? Old fisherman? Just old common guy. I mean, I even heard that he denied his own master and quit on him. Right? But I'll tell you what, when Peter stood that day and he took the word that Jesus gave to him, He couldn't on his own remember everything Jesus said, but the Spirit of God now dwelt in his soul. Amen. And when he stood and preached that day, I'll tell you what, the power of the Spirit of God took over and moved through that crowd of thousands of people, right? And did a wondrous work through him. He's the same old fisherman. But what made the difference? It was the success of the Spirit of God. As a matter of fact, I've become convinced I don't want any other kind of success. Right? Do you? I don't want to stand and preach what Tim has to say. Every time I stand, I want the Spirit of God to use me. Because I don't know what you need, and I don't know what the people that listen to me need, but I know one that knows the deepest need of their heart, and he is the Spirit of God. Amen. And he'll take my lips and use them to reach way down in their soul and change their lives forever, forever. Amen. Isn't that great? You know, my church that I pastor now, Old Swanee, believe it or not, is 189 years old, the church is. I am according to records now, I think there are a few more, I am the 32nd pastor of the church. I'm not the second. I'm the 32nd pastor. Think about that just a moment. When I get to heaven, I don't preach him more. He taught me everything I know, you know. He said he taught me everything he knew, right? And I always felt accountable to him. I'll tell you, when I get to heaven, I'm going to feel accountable to him for how I handled the ministry he built there, right? I didn't start it. But I'll tell you what. Think about having 32 guys to answer to, right? That's like a board, right? But then think about standing before Jesus. Behold my hands and my feet, right? Accountable to him for the ministry he has given to us. I mean, I've been given a ministry, my friends, that I'm accountable to Christ for. But he's given me a message that'll give me success. Amen? If I'll be faithful to it. Listen, you know, these people were filled with power, weren't they? They were filled with the power of God. And they accomplished a mission. I'm here today because they went on mission with God, my friends, and the Spirit of God, and they did it. They did it. Do we have the same gospel? Do you have an inspired word of God? Right? Do you have the self-same spirit in your heart today, in your soul? Do you have the same Jesus that I have and they had? Hey, all those 32 preachers before me, they preached this same gospel. As a matter of fact, they preached out of this same Bible I'm using here today. You got the same Bible today? And I submit to you, we can have the same success. It might be one, Brother James. It might be 1,000, brother. But it all counts for Jesus Christ and for eternity. I say we need to continue the message of missions. I want to be one of those, do you? I sure do. I'll tell you, I'm getting older, Brother Robbie and Brother Kindheart. And the older I get, the more I realize I'm nothing. But I sure do want to be one that carries on the message. I don't want to let Jesus down. I don't want to let my grandchildren down that are sitting back. I want to hand off to them the self-same message of the gospel and the salvation and the way of life that I enjoy, amen, today with Jesus. Amen. Father, I thank you for the time we've had together. Thank you, Lord, for the blessed gospel. I stand as your servant today. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that you'd put a fire in our bones like Jeremiah. His word was like a fire, that we cannot but help but preach the gospel to the world. I believe this is our day, Lord. You've given it to us. You've handed to us, like you did the disciples in those days, a time to preach, God, and a time to reach the world. And Lord, make us what we ought to be for thy glory. Make us successful today. And Lord, give us more people to carry the gospel to the world. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we stand to our feet with